This week's parasha, of course, has the one of the two tochachos in it, one of the two very difficult and disheartening parts of the Torah, where it's delineated what will happen if the Jews don't adhere to the Torah. By the way, this year is dedicated in the memory of Basia Bas Avram Abba. If Mrs. Miller's mother, we think it is, but that's the person, Basia Bas Avram Abba. In any event, the Tochacha takes up the whole last part of the Parshas Kisavo, beginning with the words Vayayim Lo Sishma. First, it goes through the Brachos of when Klal Yisrael listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the Klolos Lo Aleinu in the event that we don't. And it goes on almost to the end of the Parsha, and it's very disheartening. It was disheartening to the people who heard Moshe say it, Klal Yisrael. Indeed, at the beginning of next week's Parsha, Nitzavim, the word Nitzavim, from which the Parsha takes its name, and it starts with the words, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kolchem, Rashi brings down a Medrash, and the Medrash says, I'm not going to quote much more from the Chumash. Medrash Agada, Lama Nismacha Parshas Atem Nitzavim Leklalos, how come the Nitzavim follows on the heels of the Klalos? So the Medrash says, "Lefi sheshomu Yisrael mea klolos chaser shtayim." When the Jewish people, our ancestors, heard these 98 klolos, 100 klolos minus two, if you count them, there's 98 of them, which has to do with Sukkot, by the way, but we'll talk about it maybe next time. Rabbi Decker can't come. Chutz me'arboyim v'teisha shabtaras kohanim, which is on top of the 49 that's in Vayikra, the other tochacha, hariku pneihim, their faces became pale. When they said, "Mi yuchal lamod ba'elu," who can possibly persist knowing that this is being held over your head if you misbehave? So hischo Moshe lefaisam. So Moshe began by putting them to at ease, and he said, "Atem nitzavim hayom." That's why nitzavim follows the klolos. What do you mean? How to put them at ease? Harbei hichastem lamokom. What Moshe is telling them with the words, "Atem nitzavim hayom," you are here standing today, is that much that you did has already angered Hashem. We have all the stories in the Chumash and from the Midbar, the things that the Klal Yisrael complained about, and there are many things that we did that were wrong. And velo asa eschem klia, and yet He did not destroy you. Hariatem kayamim lefanav hayom. You're still here, so don't feel that it's the end of the world that you have these klolos hanging over your head, because hayom kiyom hazek shushukayim v'mafil meir, just like the day Yom gets dark and it gets light again. Kach heir lachem v'kach asid lahayah lachem. So has Hashem lightened your world for you, and so will He continue to lighten His world for you. Change of venue?
Change of venue.
Taking over?
Finish your work.
I just started it.
It's up to you. I'll come back in.
So,
I'll finish up. Then.
Okay, this is the Medrash. Atem nitzavim hayom. You're still standing here today. This kind of a disheartening feeling is something that is very seasonal. I think we all feel it this time of year as we come close to Rosh Hashanah. A similar kind of a yush that we have, because we feel like somehow, even though we're facing the Yom HaDin, we faced it before, and yet we're not necessarily feeling that we're in a higher place. We find ourselves reciting the same averis that we did a year ago, which were the same ones that the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that. And it can be very disheartening. One can think that there's not gaining anything. I'm not getting any traction. I'm not accomplishing anything. And it fills a person with a feeling very similar to, you know, what hope is there? Like Clarice Hall said, Moshe had to put them at ease because they said, what hope is there for us? And we feel also sometimes, and the Yemei HaDin coming, that there's not much hope for us. Look what happened in the past. And what's going to be with the future? What does it help? I'm going to be doing tshuva again when it didn't work fully the first time. Hopefully we've made some progress, but still the same averos are still coming back to our consciousness. Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, a very chashuv Talmid Chacham years ago in Eretz Yisrael, asked a question. It has to do actually with last week's parasha. He asked a question, says, Ben Sarah Umura, the young man, the 13-year-old, who does certain things that we are done him, that the Torah says we're going to judge him, because of what he will become in the future. If he's going to be a glutton, and he's going to steal from his parents, and he's going to be drinking a lot of wine and eating a lot of meat, and he's acting that way at 13 when he's just coming of age, so for sure he's going to turn out terrible, and he's actually assuming that all the conditions are filled, which are very difficult, and according to one line, it never happened. But theoretically, at least, he's liable for the death penalty, capital case, for being a glutton. We're judging him on the future. Doesn't seem fair, but that's what the Torah says. But Rav Zevin asks, what about Yishmael? Yishmael was in the desert, and his mother abandoned him, and he cried, and she cried, and Hashem listens, and Malach comes and is taken care of. Asher Husham, exactly right. He judged him where he is. So which is it? Does Hashem judge people for where they're headed, or where they are? It's a good question. On the contrary, that makes it even more of a question. Why is he getting special treatment? He's the one that Hashem is saying he's righteous now. I mean, there were no Jews yet at that point, so you know, that's not really a question. But the bottom line is, it's a totally different attitude, it seems. Do we look at people and where they're headed? Look at where they are there, then, and now. Asher Husham. And he answers, and it's a striking answer, it's obvious, is that Ben Tzur has already done things that show what he is headed toward. He's not an innocent person. Now, he may not be a murderer yet, which is what it says he'll become by some point, but at the moment, he's doing things that are bad. He's a glutton, he's stealing from his parents. He's not an innocent bystander. More than off the dark. He's chosen to, he hasn't been pushed and he hasn't drifted. He's made a choice. That's what Ben Tzur HaMoreh is. But Yishmael, at that moment, Asher Husham, he didn't do anything wrong. He was an innocent baby, a babe in the woods, in the desert. And there's nothing that he did at that point that should make Hashem want to judge him. Now, it turned out that bad things happened, and his descendants did terrible things to Klal Yisrael, and are doing terrible things to Klal Yisrael today. But the bottom line is, at that moment, there was not that. Asher Husham, where he was is all that mattered. There was a comedian, I don't know if he's Jewish, maybe he was Jewish, comedian who said something that, I don't know if you'll get the humor in it or not, but it was, he used to deliver one-liners that were sometimes very piercing. And he said, I used to do drugs, he said. And then he added, I still do, but I used to also.
So it doesn't
make sense at first, but it was very funny, and
he
it is funny.
Still doesn't. Why do you say?
The guy actually overdosed on drugs not long after that, and he's dead. So I can't ask him what he meant. But what I understood him to mean, I only read this in the paper because of his obituary where it mentioned this. That's how I know of him. But I think what he meant was, and I have to repeat that line for someone who just walked out who should not have missed that line, the comedian who said, I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to, too. So, very funny, but it's hard to pinpoint what's funny about it. What I think is funny, and I think it's profound, not so much funny, is that he used to do drugs, and he stopped. He was machlit. He did tshuva. I'm not going to do it anymore. And then he fell. He's still doing it. But he used to, meaning he tried to stop. Maybe many times he tried to stop, and it's not an unusual situation. And it's very analogous to what I just was talking about. Here we are. We used to do averos. We still do what we used to, right? Last Yom Narayim, we did tshuva, and we said I'm not going to tell Lashon Hara anymore. I still do, but I used to also. I abandoned it. I rejected it. I just fell back into it again. Rav Huttner has a fascinating letter in the Igros, the collected letters of Rav Huttner, where apparently a Talmud wrote him and said, he was exasperated. He says, I don't feel I'm growing. Same Averis, back Yom Kippur again, I'm doing the same things again. I'm saying Chatasi the same on the same things with the same things in my mind. And Rav Huttner writes him back and says, you fool. He doesn't quite say it that way, but he makes it clear very strongly. He says, you're making a big mistake if you are going to measure your success in whether you were successful. He doesn't put it quite that way, but he explains, it's not necessarily that you have improved and are not doing what you used to do before. That's very important. You have to always aim at that. Without that, there's nothing. But it's the struggle itself that is important, that gives life meaning. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekam, seven times a Tzadik falls and picks himself up, says Rav Huttner, that doesn't mean that even though he fell seven times, he managed to pick himself up. It means that's what he has to do if he wants to be a Tzadik. The falling is part of the process. It's an essential part of the process. And the tshuva that we do each year, on Rosh Hashanah, is meaningful, even if it's on the same thing it was the year before, as long as we mean it now. And if Chalila, we have to say it again, the same Chatasi next Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't mean this Rosh Hashanah wasn't a success. Because Bashir Hushan, at that moment, one has been about tshuva. One is in a state of tshuva. Ah, you're doing drugs again? But you used to do drugs. Ah, you're doing sins again? But you used to do sins, and you stopped, and you did tshuva. And that was one of the seven times that the tzaddik falls and he picks himself up again. It's a tremendous chizuk to realize what Rav Huttner is saying. He quotes in English, the letter is in Yiddish or in Hebrew, I think, but he quotes one line in English where he says, they say that you can lose the battles but win the war. An aphorism that he quotes in English in this letter. Because the battles are what matter. In the end, that's called winning the war. Even if you lose the battles, you can still win the war. If you keep on fighting the battles, you keep on doing the tshuva, you keep on quitting the drugs, so to speak. Even if, Chalila, you end up back off the wagon, climb back on the wagon again. Because that the climbing is itself what's meaningful. That's what he says. It's the war is what has to be won, but it's won by losing battles sometimes. That's what I wanted to share with you. If Rabbi Becker's still outside, he may have something to add. So, sorry, would you mind checking to see if he's there? Because he asked to come in when I was finished. I was going to stretch it out longer, but this way you'll get two different unrelated bars, I think. It's a fascinating letter. If you have access to the Igros of Rav Huttner, I don't remember what number it is. Had I known I was speaking today, I would have looked it up so I could tell you. But it's worth looking for through it because it's a very, very encouraging and heartening thing. I now present you with the regularly scheduled Baal Shir.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you
for coming.
Thank you. Okay. I do apologize. We had an emergency phone call about Hurricane Irma, which we're now getting involved in, obviously, as opposed to the hurricane.
She said that they should leave
Florida. Yeah, they should, but right now it's impossible at this point.
He never does this. He doesn't tell anyone what to do with that weather.
But at this point there was a certain window in which that was possible. Unfortunately, that window is closed. Right now it's very, very difficult to get out, and the truth is you don't even know if you're going to be moving into the eye of the storm. You could be moving I do apologize, but I thank Rabbi Shaffrin. It's nice to have somebody who can pinch it and So we'll try and do a little bit. Obviously, we'll be makatzer a little bit. In Parshas Kisavo starts out in our parsha today. V'hoya Kisavo al ha'aretz asher shem lekecha noisen lecha nachla yirishta v'yishavta bo. So we talk about you come to Eretz Yisrael, and to make it quick, you give bikurim, right? You take some fruit, and you have to bring it to your shrine, and you present it to the kohen, and there's a whole entire ceremony that, as a matter of fact, much of our Haggadah is based upon that ceremony. It's very interesting. The whole middle of the Haggadah is based upon the psukim of Arami Oivet Avi. As a matter of fact, we're probably more familiar from the Haggadah than we are from the psukim. But that's those psukim. And you say a whole what's called Vidui Meiser. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the kindness that he has done. And there's a Rashi that, very interesting, if you take a look in Rashi and Pasuk Gimel, it says you go Asher Yah Bayamim Haim. You go to the Kain, which is Bayamim Haim, which of course we've spoken about many times. What it means, the Kain Bayamim Haim. So Rashi is Enlucha Ela Kain Shemecha. You have to use the Kain in your day because the Kain is obviously somebody that you need to have who's up to the current events. The Kain of that day understands what's going on. He understands the culture. He's able to help you. And then it says, "Vamarte love." And then you say this vidui. You say this thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I were Rashi, so I would have said, "Vamarte love," that you should show your hakaras hatoif. You should show that you're makar toif, that you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hakaras hatoif is an important thing. What does Rashi say? He says the opposite. Says Rashi, she'encha kofi taiva. You're not a kofi taiva. You're not somebody who denies goodness. And we have to ask ourselves, why does Rashi use language which is negative? Say, she'tehe makir taiva. You should be makir taiva, right? We call it hakaras hataiva. He says she'encha kofi taiva. By the way, kofi, so if you look in the Sif Chaim, kofi is like a calf, is a ladle. It's like you pushed it off. Like somebody did something, you pushed it away. So Rashi's saying on the negative aspect of kafi taif. So how do we understand that? So I saw in the Mayan Shavua, so he says very nice, and explains what the lesson is of the Bikurim. And also the other question I have is, why do we make such a big deal of fruit? In other words, pinyan haben of a person, it doesn't get as big a to do in the Torah, right? If I can even say Peter Chamor, right? The Redeemer Chamor also doesn't get such a big deal. But fruit, we make a big deal over. As a matter of fact, I mentioned this to somebody, my kasha yesterday, Talmud Chacham, and he told me that the halacha of Pinyan HaBen in the Rambam is listed where? In the halacha of Bikurim. So it means Bikurim actually comes first, more than even for a person, more than Pinyan HaBen. It's like Pinyan HaBen secondary. So what is this about fruit? And the Zayin Minim of Eretz Yisrael is obviously very chashuv, Zayin Minim, but it would seem that a person's, you know, higher on the level of Hakaras HaTaiv. So how do we understand it? So he says a very, very important insight. He says, to bring this fruit was not an easy thing. You lived up in northern, you lived by Tzfas, right? You had to make a whole journey to come to the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't, you didn't live necessarily next door. People live over all over. I have a nephew just moved to Tzfas, very expensive Yerushalayim, and I'm sure Yerushalayim was probably very expensive in those days too. And people lived all over. So he says you have to work to get to Yerushalayim. You have to be matriarch yourself. What's the lesson? So he says, beautiful. The lesson is that Hakaras HaTaiv is not just words. It's not just thank you. You have to actually do something to show Hakaras HaTaiv. You have to do more than just say thank you if it's appropriate. As you have to do something. Somebody comes to your house, like some Shabbos, somebody comes to stay over, they say thank you, but they also bring you a gift. That's considered proper derech eretz. So he says, that's what we're telling us. That he says, HaChiddush HaGadol B'Parsha Zu She'ein Dai V'Hakaras Toiva Milulis. It's not enough just words. Bargoshes Alev O Amiris Toiva HaKaras HaToiv Tzorech She'Tatzmiach Maisim B'Poyel. You have to do something tangible. You have to actually go and show how much you're Makar Toiv. Elitol as a yakish of Paris, we take the best of the Paris, haprishat samach rishina, because what they used to do as soon as it came out, you tied a little knot on it to show that this is, you know, red ribbon, to show this is the first one. And I was thinking that maybe that's the pshat, because taka person's more choshev. So if I made a big deal of pidyon haben by a person, I'd say, for a person, I have to say thank you. But for some fruit, I got to say thank you. I mean, I'd say thank you, but I don't have to do a whole maisa. It's showing us, just like remember when it said about Moshe Rabbeinu, where do we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu Hakaras HaTaiv? We didn't hit the water. So you say, that's Hakaras HaTaiv, not hitting the water. The answer is yes. It starts with that and it moves its way up. So even something as little as fruit, as little as wheat, as little as all these things, as Shivas Aminim, this is where we go and we show our Hakaras HaTaiv. And therefore we should have Hakaras HaTaiv even much more than that. It tells a story that there was about 450 years, there was a family moved from Yemen to Israel, and now with the parents, it was very hard in those days. The parents passed away, and the son had nowhere to be far as himself. He went into the forest and used to pick berries. It was Nebuch, they didn't have anything. You wouldn't realize people starved to death in those days if you didn't have a family, you didn't have people take care of you. And finally, some people saved him. His name was Yeshua, and he was saved not just by regular people, but it seems that he ended up in the yeshiva by Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi. The Shita Mekubetzis was one of the great Gedolim, Rabbi Chaim Vital, and they all like raised him, and he became a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he felt he had to do something to show his Hakaras HaTaiv. So what did he do? He wrote a sefer called Melech HaShleimai, which is printed in every Mishnayos. It's one of the main Svarim in Mishnayos. That's how he wanted to show Ich bin a Makar Toiv. So he says, how much different would life be if we all understood that Hakaras HaTaiv means more than thank you? He says, we take a look at children, have to have Hakaras HaTaiv for their parents. all the wonderful things that parents do for children and raising them, the child has to do, has to be jumping and running to try and make the parent happy to do things for the parent. You know, in Shulchan Aruch, all the things that he's supposed to be, mashkeyu, machleyu, he's supposed to give him to drink, to eat, help him stand up. You know, it's not just not sitting in their seat. Sometimes, you know, people say, just you can't sit in their seat, you can't contradict their words. But it means pil yaitzeh. And then he says something I've never heard anybody speak about. How much hakaras hatov do parents have to children? Because the joy that the children bring them, from having them. How much hakaras hatov do they have to have? How much hakaras hatov does a brother have to have for a sister, and a sister for a brother? There's hakaras hatov everywhere, and that hakaras hatov is something that can manifest itself intangible. And that's one chiddush. So the first chiddush we have is that hakaras hatov transcends thank you. We'd be writing an article like we'd write for one of the magazines or, you know, papers. Right. Hakaras hatov isn't just saying thank you. Right? It means much more than that. But hakaras hatov is, it goes even beyond that. Hakaras hatov extends to another level. We know that the Yidden, when they were in the Midbar, had everything they needed taken care of. They had Mon took care of their food needs, the bear took care of their water needs, the Anan Yaakov took care of their shelter needs. They had everything that they wanted, right? Along came a nation called Ammon and Moav. And the halach is that Ammoni and Moav cannot come Bakal Hashem. They can't marry, they can become Gerim, but they can't marry into the Jewish nation. Why? Everyone knows. Because, and Pasuk even says it, because they weren't Makar Toif. Because in Avraham Avinu saved their Zayd the Light all those years before, right? Ammon and Moav is the children of light. And the light was saved by Avraham, and we spoke about that once, how many generations it was, the father, and they weren't Makar Toif. So that's it, no more Klal. So they're not our kind of people. We don't want people who don't care about Hakaras HaToiv, right? Yimach Shemai wrote in Mein Kampf, about this, that, you know, we don't believe in chesed, that's a Jewish thing, all this stuff, we don't believe in that, we believe in law of the jungle and dog eat dog, we don't believe in any of that. So they did it, they were thrown out of Klal Yisrael, so they're not allowed in, because they didn't give them food and water. But did you ever think about it? Klal Yisrael didn't need the food and water. They had all they wanted. They had a well, they gave them all water, good clean water, right? They're not like Poland Spring. It was a real well, a real spring, and they gave them water, and they had to eat, so they didn't even need it. Hakaras HaToiv is even if they don't need it. So if you're coming for Shabbos to someone's house, and you see, and you go, he takes you around his house, and he shows you a wine cellar, he's got 800 bottles, and you look at your little bottle of wine that you brought along, and they say, oy vey, this guy doesn't need my bottle of wine. That's not true. Your Hakaras HaToiv is giving the bottle of wine. He's got 800 bottles. That's not your business. Your Makar Toiv, you are Makar Toiv. It has to be tangible, and it doesn't matter if he needs it or not. So we see this concept of Hakaras HaToiv, and that's what Bikurim is all about. The whole beginning of Parashas Ki Tsav is to teach us the concept of Hakaras HaToiv. Hakaras HaToiv, even on the smallest thing, Peiros. Hakaras HaToiv, even if they don't need it. And Hakaras HaToiv is much more than thank you, and that's how we start our parshat. I heard my chavrusa, I was learning with my chavrusa, and he shared with me something that was very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful concept. Let me see, since I'm not, there we go. Okay. There's a story that happened like this. This story happened in 1938 in the Chevron Yeshiva. The Chevron Yeshiva was in Eretz Yisrael. Famous yeshiva, it's famous to this day. Chevron is one of the big chashuv yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. And then we had a legendary Rosh Yeshiva. This legendary Rosh Yeshiva's name was Reb Chatzkel Sarno. Chatzkel Sarno was a great gedolei Yisrael. And at that time there was a Talmud by the name of Reb Shloima Hoffman. There was a Talmud in the yeshiva. And Reb Chatzkel Sarno was walking down the street. I heard this story from my chavrusa was told over by a Reb Daniel Gladstein, who speaks on Torah anytime. And I listened to the shir and listened to make sure I got the story down straight. Oh, yeah, right. He's a very good shirim. I recommend him. He's very lebedic. He gives a good shir. So he said this story, thought in the Sefer, that Reb Chatzkel Sarno was in the yeshiva and he sees this Reb Shloima Hoffman. It was during Elul, this time of the year, and he goes, Shlaima, you look depressed. You look sad. What are you so sad about? So he says, "Oi, Rebbe, You know, it's L time, and you know, and the Rambam says it's so hard to do tshuva. I mean, we'll read this Rambam in a few minutes. You have to have charata what you did. You have to make sure you're never going to do it again. And the Rambam says the Ribbono Shel Olam testifies in you that you're never going to do it again. I'm tearing my hair out so hard. So Chassid Sofer looks at him and says, "You're making a big mistake." He says, "Why are you going with the Rambam? Why don't you go with Rabbeinu Yoina?" Rabbeinu Yoina says, "You don't have to do tshuva. It's just enough to go on the right path. So there's no reason to be sad. Just think of that." When he says, "We don't pass like the Rambam, we pass like Rabbeinu Yoina." So what is that? He explained. So what is this all about? What does that mean? That Rabbeinu Yoina says you don't have to do tshuva. I mean, it's all about tshuva. What obviously meant something with that. So let's learn the Rambam, and then we'll get to the Rabbeinu Yoina, and then we'll explain what Reb Chatzkel Sarno meant. It's a Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, of Hilchos Tshuva. It says, Mahi Tshuva, right, let's get right down to the point. What is Tshuva? Hu Shiyazav HaChayta Chetai. Number one, you have to have Aziva Sechet, you should leave your Chet. Stop doing it. V'yasir Machshavto, get it out of your mind, don't think about it. V'yigmar, and Belibai Shelo Yaseh Oid, and you should make up that you won't do it again. Shenemer Yazav Rosh Adarkai, V'yishaven Machshavaisav, the Rosh should leave his way, and the man of sin should go. And V'yashav Hashem Yerachem, go to Hashem, he'll forgive you. V'chein Yisnachem Al Sheovar, and then you have to have another thing, you have to have Charot Al Ovar. You have to regret that you did it. Shenemer ki achri shuvi nechamti. After I do tshuva, Hashem will forgive me. I was comforted. The yoyel of yodea talumais and the rebbeinu shalom, the yodea talumis, the knower of secrets, will testify in you. Shal yoshev lezeh hachet liyoylem, you'll never go back to your chet. Shenemer v'lo nemer oy elokeinu lemaisi yodeinu and v'tzorech lihizvadois b'sfosim, and you have to do vidui b'peh v'loimer, and to say in yonais elu shagomer b'libay, and you have to say what you had done wrong. That's a Ziva Sechet that you have in Yeshiva. You have this whole Hashamnu. I don't know if they give it out where I am, that from the Chida, I think, that there's a Fidui, and you can say Hashamnu, Achalnu, Nacholos Asuras, you know, Baganu, Berachnu, Brach Levatala, Brach Shein Tzricha, each one. And we go through all the things that we did wrong. So the Rambam says they have to do tshuva in a way that the Ribbono Shel Olam will testify you're not going to do it again. So who of us can say that we do such a tshuva? What a tshuva that we're never doing. You know, we maybe 24 hours, maybe 24 minutes, I don't know, but we try our best. But to come to that madrega, it's very hard madrega. See, he says, Rabbeinu Yoina says something else, a different zach. We have two things, aziva sachet and charata. And there's a shaila, what do you have to do first? Do you have to get rid of the chet? Or do you have to, you know, feel bad about that you did it? So he explained that there are two different types of people do chatayim. Let's talk, mention the example he gave, let's say, you know, talking by davening. Let's say a person talked by davening. So the whole year he doesn't talk by davening. He's a good guy. And one time, something happened, and he saw a friend of his or something like that, he lost and he talked by davening. So he says, that's a person that Aziv Sechet is not hard for him. That's because he really doesn't do the chet. But he fell, you know, a couple times. Some he never talks Lashon Hara the whole year. He's very good about it. Never talks Lashon Hara. One of those people, you try and, you know, I don't talk Lashon Hara. That's the easy way out. The better way out is not to embarrass the person by saying that, but to, what the Chofetz Chaim says, to glide the conversation elsewhere. To smoothly glide the conversation out of it. And therefore, that eventually the person gets the feeling you're not going to talk Lashon Hara. That person should aziva sechet can come second. He has to have charata that he did it, because he's not far from aziva sechet. He says, but there's another type of person, the person who's what we would call he's not on the derech. He's fallen off the derech. He's doing averas like crazy, and he decides he goes to a shir. And he says, you know something, I want to come back. And there are people who have that gevura. But to have charata, if he's going to start with charata, he's never going to make it. He's going to be so depressed. He's going to think of all his, he's going to kill himself. chas v'shalom. You can't take it. That person has to have aziva sachet. He just has to go away from it. He gives a nice mashal. He says, for example, if a person, let's say, goes to somebody, says he's in Yerushalayim, I want to go to Bnei Brak. So the person says it'll take about 60 minutes. But he doesn't ask directions. He sort of asks how long it'll take. He doesn't ask directions. And he starts walks for 60 minutes. And then he looks at his watch and he asks the person, this Bnei Brak? He goes, no, you're in Yam HaMelech. You walked the wrong direction. You just asked the guy how long it takes. You forgot to ask which direction to go. So he says, not only does it take you an hour, now it's going to take you 3 hours. So that's, he says, that's going in the wrong derech. You're going the wrong way. He says, what Rabbeinu Yoina is saying, tshuva is, and this is Rabbi Yisrael, it's brought from Yisrael Salanter, tshuva means, for such a person, I'm going to go in the right direction. I've made a decision that I have two roads to go. One road is going to lead me away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. One road is going to lead me to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I have made a decision. I'm going to go on that road. That's going to get me to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is tshuva. That's a tshuva we can aspire to. That's something we can hold on to. It doesn't mean that we won't get sublundered. I was going yesterday. I had a chassan square. So they told me, that here's the short, go through this back alley. It was terrifying. It was an alley, so there was mud. It was pouring last night, so it was mud. I got stuck in the mud. I got rained. It was because it was a shortcut, but probably should have gone the long way around. You got to know which derech you're going on. So tshuva means that you start to go on the right derech. Lashuv means to go back, to return. It doesn't mean you're not going to get bumps in the road. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to stop by the gas station to get gas, or you're going to get a flat tire, or things are going to happen. It just means you're going in the right direction. And that's what we hope to do in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We help to start putting ourselves in the Seiros Meitshuva, to start going in the right direction. And the Rambam saying that we're going to never do it again is above most people. And therefore, just to say we're on the right direction, that's what we call and we hope all to become a Baal Teshuva, a person who returns, and puts himself onto the right road. So with this Yesoid, so my Harusa, who started me on this journey, told me that maybe that's the answer in a certain story that we all know. He's told the story in Shir, but there's a Kash in the story. The Vilna Gaon had a sister. And his sister was a big, collector for tzedakah. She used to go around. And she had a friend that used to go with her, and they used to go to everywhere to collect tzedakah. Vayi ayayim, they got older. And they realized they're not going to be doing this forever. So they made a pact that whoever goes to the Oil Mammoth first should come back to the other one in a dream and tell them what it was like when they went up to Shemayim. Is everyone familiar with the story? Not that it's a good story. So they went up to Shemayim. And the first one passed away, and I think it was the Gaon's sister passed away, and Shitaka came back and dreamed to the other person. And she said, our schar is lahafli, beautiful schar, but my schar is greater than your schar. You know why? Because we were once standing at a certain place, and I pointed and said, maybe we should go to, let's go to another place. And for that pointing, I am a higher madrega than you in Shemayim. So the kasha in the story is a beautiful story, but everybody feels a little queasy about it because you pointed, so therefore you're in a higher madrega than the other person just for pointing? And the answer is no. It wasn't just for pointing. The answer is that was what made you, that you were going to, you were completed. You said, let's go on this derech. Let's go on this derech toward another tzedakah. So you might have just started, you might have just pointed, but that already got you there. For just pointing, you already got to get schar for having gone there. So I think this is a magnificent, first of all, it helps us with our tshuva, because there is a certain feeling that, we're not perfect, we're never going to be perfect, we have to be cognizant that we're human. Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta, there's no tzaddik, says Mishle, that doesn't do bad in this world. Everybody slips. And it doesn't say when you're younger. It doesn't matter what age you're at. You just have different nisyonis as you get older. Then the sign that bothered you at 20 doesn't bother you at 30 and 40. Every age bracket has its own nisyon. But But it's a tremendous nechama to know that al pi Rabbeinu Yoinin, if long as we're going to take ourselves and we're going in the right direction, that's what counts. The counts is that we're setting ourselves, we're going in the direction of tshuva. That already is somebody who the Ribbono Shel Olam forgives. Let's do one more quick thing, and then Baruch Hashem. If you take a look at the end of the parsha, let's go. I'm sorry, Perek Chav Vav, not the end, but the next page. Chav Vav Tez Zayin, page 565, the top line. It says, Hayoyim Hazeh Hashem Elokech Mitzav Chalassos Es Hachukim Ha'elah. And on this day, Hashem is commanding you to do these mitzvahs and these chukim, ves mishpatim, veshamarta vasisos, and b'chol levav chol nafshi. You do it all your heart. As Hashem hamarta yom, and you'll say to Hashem today, v'yosachrin, and so on. So Mordechai Kamenetsky, we always like to quote from, says, what is this hayoyim? It says, hayoyim hazeh Hashem elokech mitzavcha. This day Hashem is commanding you. And another pasuk, it says that it's, we know it says, only on this day did you understand, and all the time that went before that you didn't understand, now you understand, today you understand. What is this mice of today? Hayoyim. What is it we say, and every day we say Hayoyim Yoyim, we once said a whole shir, and why we say Hayoyim Yoyim? Why don't we just say Hayoyim Rishon B'Shabbos? Why do we say Hayoyim Yoyim?
Every day counts.
That's right. It's that Hayoyim. Every day.
Hayoyim always speaks. It's not how long you live, it's the
every
days,
day.
You know.
Very good, you got it. So he says, what's the pshat today? So he says a story from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Chaim Shmulevitz says like this. He was, he said there were three friends who were discussing the importance of Limud HaTorah. And one of them heard about a person, heard of the Hasmada, the diligence of a certain Talmud Chacham. He got so excited, he ran away from the table, and he ran to the Beis Medrash, and he didn't leave for a year. I remember when I was in Yeshiva, there was, between the dormitory and the Yeshiva, there was a tunnel. So I remember this one guy, who was a big masman, he didn't leave the building for half a year. He sat and he learned. He went from the building to the Beis Medrash and back. For half a year he sat and learned. Now he's a mile, I think, in Miami. But that's what he did. He sat and he learned. So this yid went and he learned, and he became a big Talmud Chacham. So they went through Chaim Shmulevitz. They told him afterwards, they said, you know, he forgot the bench. He ran, he was so excited, man, he forgot the bench. And he says, Taka was wrong, but I'm choshed that if he had stayed the bench, he would not have run and done this for a year. You have to seize the moment. You have to grab that moment that you have. And that's the day. Hayoyim! Today is the day, for the, you know, they say today is the first day of the rest of your life. Hayoyim, if you don't grab the day, you will not accomplish it. Just we'll finish with what he says over here. Perhaps Moshe is telling his the Ummah the secret of eternal inspiration. One might experience miraculous events, and even if he had the vision of a lifetime. However, if he does not have the heart to understand, the eyes to see until that vision is today, he has to grab the vision and take it now. So all the service you get, you come to a shir, and you learn about tshuva, and you do these things. If you don't grab it now, it's gone. That's why we find so many times the Torah says, Hayoyim, because Hayoyim is the time to do it. And if we don't do it, it won't happen. So I wish you all, thank you very much for having me. We got a double share today, Baruch Hashem, myself, Efren, and in Mitzvah Hashem, we will resume next week. We'll talk about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseres Mechuvah. That'll be our Avodah, and I think we have one more share till Rosh Hashanah.